Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the middle of the month, What Lies in Your Debt monthly call. This is an open call for Q&A, open Q&A, and some discussion on any subjects, really, but the focus mainly on debt issues. But anyway, we are here, and we're going to give a little bit of time for people to snake their way in here, because that seems like the way it's worked here just recently. So we'll just have a little bit of chatter here and get everybody in. But and then, of course, once we get ready to go, we have to get Mr. Jesse up to the podium to properly give the disclaimer so we all stay out of trouble. But we'll take care of that here in a little bit.
Yeah, I tell you, my friend, I can't, I've been at Cody's place yesterday. Danny's over there right now. She spent the night there last night, and tonight, and then tomorrow, I pick her up in the afternoon sometime. I go, I didn't want to leave yesterday. I'm telling you, I haven't felt nothing that nice. And
you're all wrapped up in that, aren't you?
Oh, God, I wish you knew.
Oh, I got a good idea. I know you well enough.
I don't even know. Like, what more is there? I have no clue. You know, I really.
Well, there is another world out there somewhere, but you don't give a crap about it right now.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable being a grandpa. I was good to keep. I can't hardly stand it.
Yeah.
There, I'll email you some pics. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Like I said.
I'll bet Danny's just beside herself as well.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah, you know my wife.
Yeah.
She's something else, let me tell you.
She's the hovering granny.
Yeah, I told her. She's the hottest 50-year-old grandma I know.
There you go.
But I'm excited. I'm really, really, really excited. Like, I can't even tell you how excited I am.
Yeah.
It's,
I know you've been waiting.
It really is, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I've been jumping on Cody's ass on the slowpoke for the last 5 years. You know. Get to it, son. Let's have some kids. Daddy wants to be a grandpa.
Oh, man, I'll tell
slow
you.
Slowpoke. That's all right.
Oh,
now my
dear.
Grandpa's here. Little Jordan's gorgeous. Absolutely 100%.
Good.
And off a little more. Yeah.
Good, 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 like good. All healthy and everything. And.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
well,
he's healthy. And oh, Jesus Christ. My heart hurts. Today they circumcised poor kid. So.
Oh, well, it's just been more of the same around here. I've actually been in and out of the ER at the hospital.
What the hell
times.
Are you doing in there again? Why didn't you call me?
Oh, well, I got this. Yeah, I got this catheter in, and every once in a while decides that doesn't. Oh yeah.
Why still,
just,
buddy?
Because I can't find a doctor I trust to even talk to about it. Not yet.
Okay.
But. Oh, yeah, I don't trust the medical profession any farther than I can throw this apartment building I'm in.
Of course not. But you got to, come on.
Yeah.
Can't be that
hard-headed
about it. Get out there,
bet,
get somebody
bet me and
out
lose.
And be done with it.
Oh, bet me and lose. Yeah, you know how hard-headed I can be at times, and this is one of the hardest heads that I've had in a long time. But anyway, the catheter quits flowing, and, you know, it starts getting uncomfortable after a few hours. Feel like you're blowing up like a balloon. And I was up there a couple days ago. But luckily it was happened during the daytime, so I was out of there back home by 20 to 11 that night. Last time it happened before that, it was about when I would normally go to bed, and I finally got home from the ER about 1:45 in the morning on that one. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. You deal with it. But everybody at the horse pistol's been fine. It's just the other doctors I don't trust at all.
Right.
And the more stuff that I read about what's going on out here, the harder my head gets. It's past the granite stage now. it's approaching tungsten.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, there is a lot of nonsense running around right now.
Oh, yes, there is.
It's everywhere.
And I just choose not to be a part of it.
Yeah, I did. I'm going to tell you right now. Let me go look. Hold on, I did a little video of my mother-in-law from my TikTok account about the ivermectin, of course, and all that. Removed for violating community guidelines after 57,000 views.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Anything truthful violates their guidelines. That's the way the media is, social media today.
Right. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, that's why people got to get over on places like Getter and stuff like that and get away from all that. Instagram, anything related to Facebook or Twitter or any of that kind of stuff.
It was just
rolling. I don't do any social media.
57,000 views, Dave, in 3 days.
Yeah. Oh, I don't doubt it. Okay. I don't doubt it.
No, it's there. You can go look at it.
People are hungry for the truth.
Yep. And somehow that was a community guideline. I want to make another video with her if that's the case. It's going right back up.
Yeah. It's called
I'm not
going
to stop doing it. Yeah, I'm not going to stop doing it. Ain't no way. Ain't no way in hell.
Well, I had an interesting discussion with the doctor at the ER.
Is Terry with us or no?
The other night. No, Terry isn't here yet.
I think she remembers.
Terry got preoccupied or somehow forgot. It's you and me. And, you know, we've got several listeners, but now
we emailed Terry.
Yeah. It's a matter of when she'd see it. Are you going to email her or should I?
Well, that's John Pinson right there. Hold on 1 second. Hey, Keith, John says to unmute him, please.
Okay. Well, he's calling in from an odd number.
I don't know why. It's
Sir John,
is that you? That's me. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but you sure got a funny phone number.
It's calling from Skype. Sorry. It must have changed. Anyways, how the hell are you doing?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm still alive. I was breathing when I woke up this morning. But I was really tired yesterday. Man, I went to bed at 8 o'clock last night. I haven't done that in a long time.
What
I went to bed at 8 o'clock, and I woke up at 6:30 this morning. Got 10.5 hours sleep. That's pretty unusual for me. I've been feeling pretty darn spry stuff here lately. I've been real productive, cranking the daylights out of water and getting out and doing my walking and all that stuff.
Well, good for you, man. You're supposed to feel good.
Not bad for an old man with gray hair that's 74.
Exactly. Exactly. God bless you. That's right.
But anyway, I had a little bit of a discussion with a doctor at the ER the other night. He was kind of admonishing me that I really needed to, you know, because they always talk to you about follow-up care after an ER visit. And
yeah,
He says, well, you know.
Terry says she's dialing in now. Without the adjectives, I won't describe them.
Oh,
you
know, okay. I was just
ready
to hit the send
point,
button
exclamation
on her email.
Point, I forgot. Yeah, dialing in now.
Yeah.
God bless her. I love her to death.
But,
funny.
But he, you know, of course, is getting on me. Well, you know, have you talked? What has your urologist said about this? And I said, well, I don't talk to one yet lately. And he says, why not? And I said, because I haven't found one I can trust. He says, you haven't found one you can trust? I said, no. I said, very honestly, and this is exactly what I told him. I said, you have to understand, and this is no offense to you, but my trust level of the medical profession is down under my foot. That's where my trust level is. And he goes, oh. And I said, yeah. I said, I know all about everything that's going on with the COVID. You're talking to somebody that's very well read, very well studied. I know exactly what's going on with the medical profession right now. He says, well, you really should reach out to somebody. I'll see if I can get you some good doctors' recommendations. And he says, who's the, because I told him, I had also told him I went to one urologist. And I said, he didn't know anything about me, didn't ask crap for questions, knew nothing of my history, yet he wanted to do surgery on me right away. I said, excuse me, but I've had several friends that have been mutilated by urologists, and I'm not going there. He says, well, what's the doctor's name? And I couldn't remember the guy's name. I'm, you know, it's fine with me to forget it. And I you'll love this. I told him. I said, but he looks just like Fauci. And that's just one more reason not to trust him.
Oh, shit, man. Don't make me laugh. Holy crap. Hey, Terry, should be on there. Have you unmuted the girl?
Yeah, I'm trying to unmute her, but it isn't not wanting to do things here. Come on.
Like, ouchie. I just earned some bad points with you. Oh, that's funny shit. Sorry.
Oh, well, hey, I mean, there's Terry. Hello, Terry. I finally, after four tries, got you unmuted.
Oh, well, I forgot it was Tuesday.
Yeah.
Not that I forgot.
Terry,
well,
I got to tell you,
I didn't
have to
realize it.
Well, yeah, I don't have to be jealous anymore of you. I'm a grandpa officially as of Friday.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, I've always been jealous, man. You freaking grandma, man. Haley, are you kidding me? It's awesome. Such an awesome deal.
Oh, wow. Well, Haley's only, let's see, 9 and 10. I have 11 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren.
God bless
you. Oh, my
you.
Gosh.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Here, let me tell you something hilarious. So we fish the old man's tournament on Fridays. It's the first or second Thursday or second Friday of the month. It would have been last Friday. And Charlie, the director, he's 78 or 9 or something like that. Pretty good shape guy. I mean, fishing by himself. He moves around fine. He's got his own boat launches. Does everything. I mean, the guy's pretty active. So I said, hey, I got to go. I've seen him. I'm actually like 50 yards from the guy. I throw a motor to him. I said, hey, listen, I got to run. I said, I'm leaving. I'm just letting you know. Can I put my fish in your well? You weigh him, and whatever we win, wait till next month. I don't care. He said, yeah, why? What's going on? I said, I'm going to be a grandpa. He starts laughing. He says, 3 days ago, I became a great, great, great grandpa.
Oh, my God,
said,
man.
What? And I, yeah,
what
I
did
said,
he start at the age of 9?
Wait a minute, Terry. I said, wait a minute. I says, are you kidding me? He says, no. I said, that is the most awesome. He says, MF for that ain't no effing nothing. Are you kidding me? I got one effing leg in the grave already. That's all that means. I about peed myself laughing. And he goes, no, I'm just joking, man. This is awesome. I said, are you kidding me? When I met my wife, she had 3 generations living. 3. So, yes, I absolutely get it. So, yeah, it was just fantastic. But anyway,
well,
so
I'm the oldest, and I'm the oldest on both sides of the family now, but when I had my son, we had three generations living.
Jesus, that's awesome. It really is awesome. That is so awesome.
But now I'm the matriarch.
Yeah, that was my mother-in-law. Yeah.
And I'm not really that old. I mean, I'm 69, you know.
Come to think of
you're not, really.
When my oldest daughter was born, I had three generations. I had my parents and my grandparents. And that was 51 years ago.
Holy crap.
Well, you know what? I take that back. We had four because my great-grandmother was still living then.
Well, we're just piling up all sorts of generations here tonight, aren't we?
That's fantastic.
But they my great-grandparents lived way up into their 90s. So, you know, they were quite old when they did die. Both of natural causes and quickly.
Yep, my grandfather died 2 weeks short of 95.
Wow.
He had a good long life. And I was fortunate enough to be there when he passed. We went to see him in a nursing home, and we were talking to him. He was just sitting there. He was breathing kind of hard. And we were there for a few minutes talking to him. And then all of a sudden, he just stopped. That was it. He just checked out. Boom, right there.
Yeah, you know,
he knew family was there.
My great-grandfather owned a bar his whole life. And that was his living in Chicago. And he never drove a car, he never drove a car, nor would he ride in one. Because when cars first came out, he got one of his fingers cut off when somebody shut it in the trunk of a Model A. And so he would not touch cars. He wouldn't go to doctors. He didn't use doctors. He walked to work every day, and he was like 96, I think. And he was on his way to work to open his bar, and he collapsed on the sidewalk. And they took him to the hospital. He was unconscious, of course, or he wouldn't have let them put him in an ambulance. And he died of a bone cancer he didn't know he had. And never knew he had, and never had any symptoms.
Well, he lived a good long life, didn't he?
Yeah,
he did what
by
he
staying
wanted.
Away from doctors.
Yeah.
He didn't go anywhere near doctors. And he never in his life had the flu or any illness like that. He was just...
Yeah, because he never went and got a flu shot.
Yeah, and he was...
Right.
Pickles.
I never have had one.
Wow. Please don't go get any shots, everybody. Please do not go get a shot. Oh, my God.
Any shot.
Any shot, that's right. If you're thinking about it, if you haven't done it yet and you're thinking about it, no. Jesse, I sent you that obit from that guy, and your comment back said it all.
I've been paying attention. You've been sending stuff. Terry's been sending stuff, and I've been paying a lot of attention.
Absolutely.
And John, how's your sister think of all this going on?
I've been diligent about remembering to include you and John when I pass stuff forward, Jesse.
Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate it. She's doing better, and it's just been, you know, back and forth to Jacksonville, which is a long-ass drive.
Yeah,
but I've got her in a facility up there, you know, between the surgeries, and but I got to drive up and back and haul her to the hospital and everything. And so she finally qualified and got set and had her hip replacement, and there was 6 weeks that she had to go before she could really start getting around more. And then just at the end of the 6 weeks, she went to the bathroom at nighttime, and one of the orderly people burst in, and she stepped hard on the leg where she just had the hip replacement and cracked part of the hip. But luckily, but that made 8 more weeks of no weight, no nothing. And anyways, so there's been a bunch of other bumps in the road. Then she's got to go to oncology appointments. There's all kinds of imaging and stuff like that. We got her to the spine center. They did complete MRIs. She's got a bunch of spine problems, but they think the bones are too soft to operate on. Like, they could collapse. The vertebra could collapse more if they tried to cement them doing a kyphoplasty. Well, anyways, I have to take her. Today she had the pre-op stuff. I have to take her next Tuesday for the where the carpal tunnel and the cubit tunnel, or your funny bone, and your elbow are.
Right.
Because of a traumatic brain injury, the bone will calcify in those nerve channels, and they pinch the nerve off, and eventually you'll lose the ability to use your arm in this instance.
Oh, yeah.
So they have to pull. They have to go in. They have to pull the nerve up, and then they pin it back to the bone outside of it a little bit, and that's the only way to protect it. And then she'll have to have her other arm done, and she's got the same thing in legs, but they say the surgery doesn't work well in the legs. But I think part of it is the sacroiliac joint, because I've heard of people having worn out hip joints, which she has, but she's got worn out sacroiliac joints that they have to go in and put pins in to fuse
them. I've never heard of that, man.
Oh, wow. This stuff is so complex. And, you know, we've been to the endocrinologist. They had to do stuff with that. We've been to so many different doctors. It's such an excellent facility, but I have to go up there each time. And, like, for each surgery, she has to have a COVID test the day before. And her cancer doctors have told her, you know, if you get the vaccine, it'll kill you.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
But here they are.
Yeah, Terry doesn't know that.
Telling people that immunocompromised people should get vaccinated. Well, that's what having cancer is. You're immunocompromised. In her instance,
yeah, if you have anything, you're immunocompromised.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you're not, John. You heard it maybe, but Terry didn't. But Terry, I did a video of my mother-in-law, and within 24 hours, we had 37,000 views, now it's up to 57,000 views 3 days later, and TikTok shut it down for violations of guidelines. I don't understand. It's just a woman on oxygen talking about how she survived COVID by getting the ivermectin and the thing. So, you know, they don't want none of that going crazy. So just to let you know. Yeah.
No, I didn't know about that, but Dr. Will is working with a group that are circumventing TikTok and all that stuff. And they have gotten FOIA requests fulfilled, and they are shutting shit down left and right, and they're national.
Well, I'm going to sue. Remember what I said earlier, John, a few calls ago? I said the easiest way to sue is to sue them a small claim. So I'm going to file a lawsuit. I submitted the appeal. So if TikTok doesn't redo and repost my video, I'm going to sue them in small claims, and I'm going to have my mother-in-law sue them in small claims for $49.99, and I'm going to sue them for $49.99 here in Atlanta.
Oh, you just go up to the max level of the small claims.
Exactly, and you sue them,
which is different in each state.
Unconstitutional. Correct. So if
well,
you know, $10,000, sue them for $10,000. $20,000, whatever it is in your particular state.
So,
and that way,
so people
they can't just dodge it, right? They can't do a motion to dismiss.
Right.
They can't do any of that crap. They have to send somebody there.
Yeah, and the people in Georgia are lucky because the limit's 75.
100?
1,000.
On small claims.
Yeah, the lowest court is 75.
Holy hell. Are you kidding me?
Well, that's what I was told.
Well, look out.
You're
prompting Jesse to relocate.
Yes. I can make a damn good living over there. Holy heck, are you kidding me? Wow.
Yeah, that's what Judge Lonnie told me. Remember when I was helping him out? I didn't, you know, file anything in his court, but I was a court watcher, and then he got to know me, and he didn't know anything about the law, you know, swamp court. And so he he would get me in his chambers and show me these debt collection cases that Midland was filing against the citizens there in Eastman. And he would say, what can I do? You know, these people are getting railroaded and there's nothing I can do. And I said, oh, sure there is. And he says, what? And I said, you order them to produce account level documentation within 10 days or you're going to dismiss it with prejudice. They can't, they won't, you can dismiss it.
Right.
The judge loved it, you know, but he's the one that told me that about the money limit.
Well, okay. Well, there you go.
Jesse, why don't
yes,
you
sir.
Add in for yours declaratory and injunctive relief, get the court to declare that you didn't violate the terms. And
well, of course,
because
I don't even know what the terms are. That's the crazy shit.
Well,
you know, like what kind of terms
can you do
for speech? Yeah, so we're going to, you and I'll do this, John. I'm going to throw you right in there with me.
You do that, and you get that judgment from the court, and you can turn around and do a defamation lawsuit. Because you'll have the,
all I'm
you'll
doing
have the
is,
declaration that you didn't do it.
Yeah. Okay, guys.
Oh, you just freaking tell the story, you know.
Okay, I'm going to butt in here for legal reasons. Jesse, do the disclaimer, please. Get up to the podium. Stand up there nice and straight. Get that disclaimer done because we're getting into discussing legal stuff here.
I got to get my tie ready to go.
It's a little crooked there.
Oh, God,
A little bit farther to the right.
Yes. Well, guys, thank you for joining us on our monthly call. We no longer do weekly calls, but as foreclosures are rising, and if you've got any kind of common sense, you've seen the news and what's going on, you know that a big shitstorm is heading our way, excuse my French, financially. This administration has demolished everything that we know of economically, freedom-wise, everything else. So, with that being said, our calls after the first of the year might turn into biweekly calls again, January, February, March, and then again into probably weekly, as I think the mid spring to early summer come around. No, I will tell everybody on this call, if Bitcoin hits $100,000, you'll never see me again. Just letting you know, so I'm out of here. So I'm just joking. I thought that was funny. But anyway, apparently not, maybe. But anyway.
He'll still be around. As
every
will
freaking call. I cannot not. I love everybody. I cannot not do that.
Yeah.
I love my people and my friends and my moderators.
He'll still be around. It's,
no.
It's just that he'll be sitting a little more comfortably in a little bigger stuffed chair. That's all.
Yeah. Money means nothing to me, guys. Just so you know, absolutely zero. Helping people is what means something to me. So anyway, with that being said, of course, everything that we discuss on this call, from COVID, all the way to anything that's legal, should not be taken as legal advice. These are our experiences. Our moderators, we might suggest some things that might work, things that we might use. But again, none of it should be taken as legal advice because we're not attorneys. We don't ever pretend to be attorneys, and I don't ever want to be an attorney. I don't want to be under the mandate of the court.
Thank you. That took the words out of my mouth.
That's right. With that being said, guys, again, nothing on this call should be construed as legal advice because it's absolutely not intended to be. And if you do it, then do it on your own accord. So that's it. I'm done. Okay.
You know what, Jesse? I would break my promise to my mother, and I would break my promise to my mother and become a waitress before I'd become an attorney.
Hey, thank you.
I've actually been accused of being an attorney twice.
Me too.
And in both situations, I told the person that said that, I don't like being cussed at.
Yeah.
I'm not an attorney, and I would never want to be demean myself to be an attorney.
Exactly. Very well said.
The judge looked right at me, and he said, you know, Mrs. Hinkle, they think you're either hiding a law degree or you got an attorney up your sleeve. What do you say? I bet they do think that. Was when I told him about Abraham Lincoln. Reading, writing, and retention. Good enough for him. Good enough for me.
Yeah. I had a conversation with somebody recently about that, and they said, how did you learn all of this stuff? And I said, I know how to read.
Same way you learn anything. And keep reading it over and over till you get it. If that's what it takes. And it's always a good idea anyway.
Yeah. Well, we've got a simple answer. How'd you learn all this stuff? Yeah.
I'm still finding stuff in the FCRA. Are you kidding me?
Exactly.
Well, the one thing it's important to tell everybody that's on here, whether you're new, especially for new people, you have to remember one very simple fact. All of us, if you think we're fairly knowledgeable and being able to talk about this stuff, remember, we all started at exactly the same place. The starting blocks for every one of us is in the same spot, knowing nothing. And the answer to from the starting blocks going forward is how bad do you want it? That's it, right there, in a nutshell.
Pretty much.
So, anyway, has anybody got any good news? I mean, Jesse is just, nobody's going to come close to Jesse, you know, being a new grandpa. So, I mean.
Unless there's other new grandparents on this call.
Yeah, I don't, I'm going to say probably not, but Jesse's got the case tonight for
that.
You
know what? Jesse, I'll share a milestone with you, though, because you'll enjoy
yours.
They are,
that's exactly what I call them, life milestones, that's right.
Yeah, Grayson is almost a year and a half now, Haley's little brother. And they came in the other night, and he's walking now. And but Kate was holding him because we don't turn him loose in Grandma's house, which isn't childproof. And he is a bull in a china shop. So she's holding him, and she walks through the kitchen, and I turned around, and he held out his arms to me with a big grin, and he said, "Hi." And he's never spoken before.
Well,
so
that was a milestone. Yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah, that was something else. Let me tell you.
Just a big grin,
cool.
Arms out to Grandma, and says hi. And I'm like, "Well, hi."
That's pretty dim too.
Oh, gee. Yeah. Well, all I can tell you, you know, is enjoy it, because as we all know, they grow up too quickly. As I mentioned earlier, my little tiny kid turned 35 3 days ago.
Wow.
Haley's 13 now.
Yeah. So. Wow. Yeah, and my oldest one last month turned 51. So. Anyway. I don't see any hands up, so what we're going to do is we're going to tell everybody, like we always do, if you have a question or a comment, the way to get your hand up to get called on is to hit the one key on the keypad on your phone. That will put you in the queue so we can see your hand up, and we will take your call and hopefully be able to answer any questions you may have. But at this point in time, we don't have any hands up, and it sounds like, at least for a while, we may have a little more discussion about
case, Terry, which I think everybody needs to know.
What?
If you know about that case. The case out of the district court that basically shut down everything.
Yeah, what about it? I sent the email out about that.
Yeah, I said we need to discuss that case and what it does and what the effects can be. There's a lot there that can happen in that case, you know?
The reason I did it, I'm going to tell you what I told Jandy yesterday. It just amazes me, guys, as wide awake and red-pilled and aware as so many of our brethren are, you know, our connections, the people in this group, it is amazing to me that when I sent that out, I get emails back saying, well, you know, so what if companies are gonna follow what their states say and what Biden says, and what can you do about it? And I'm like, you did not get the whole point, and you did not read it. They do. What blows me away is, no matter how much people are aware and red-pilled today, and you know what's going on, the truth of what's really happening, what globalism is all about, why the effort to kill off, you know, at least 80% of the world's population. You can understand all that stuff. But that does you zip not a zero amount of good if you don't have a basic, and I do mean basic, knowledge of how this country, as a constitutional republic, is supposed to work. The Constitution is a short document. It's, I think, 17 pages in total. And then you have the Bill of Rights. It is not written in Greek. It is not written by lawyers. It's not written in legalese. It's written in good old-fashioned English with the definitions based in the dictionaries of the day, meaning 1787. So look up Bouvier's dictionary, 1787, if you want to understand the meaning of any words used in the Constitution. But if you don't understand that under a constitutional republic such as ours, and we are the only one in the world, and we are the only one, the first one in history. The only thing that came any closer, came close to that, was the Iroquois Federation, which ours was fashioned around, and that was the inspiration. But if you don't understand that under that form of government, only God is above the people. God is at the top, then the people, then the states, and then the very, very limited federal branch at the bottom. And that federal has no jurisdiction inside the boundaries of any state outside 10 miles square of Washington, D.C., except for the territories like the Maldives, Puerto Rico, the various American territories that we have. Other than that, they have zero jurisdiction. Your state cannot force you to do or not to do anything other than things like murder. Yes, you can be held accountable and breaking those kind of laws, etc. You can be arrested and punished because we all voted to have those rules. Other than that, mandates are not laws. Your state legislature did not pass a law regarding a vaccine mandate or a mask or even vaccines, other vaccines, for school children. That's why there are exemptions. All you really need, you already have a constitutional exemption. They can't do it. So if you want to bow down, take a knee, understand this. Acquiescence makes you part of the tyranny. Saying no makes you part of the republic, okay? So if you bow down just because they're threatening you, they're saying if you don't do this and you don't do that, you're going to get fired. Well, then it's on you. It's your decision. But if you say no and they fire you, you sue them because you have every standing under the Constitution, and they are outside the Constitution, and then we can all discuss how to do that. But the end decision is yours, and that court just lay that down, exactly what I'm saying. There is a constitutional exemption, and it covers every state in the union. I'm off my soapbox.
No, but you're right, 100%. So if you're not part of the problem or solution, you're part of the problem. That's really how it works.
Right, and you can't complain because you let them coerce you. You know, and that's how the Jews got on the trains. That's how the Jews walked into the ovens. They didn't even have guns, and we do.
Yeah, and unfortunately, look at Australia. I don't know if everybody's been keeping up with Australia. I got friends in Australia.
Oh, it's
literally
crazy.
Guys. Yeah, Australia is under lockdown, basically. $90,000 fine if you're not wearing a mask, if you're walking around. They arrest you. You're on lockdown. You're not working. You're not going to grocery stores. You can't go to hospitals. I mean, it's absolutely the most absurd thing you've ever heard. And what is America doing? Nothing. Biden's joining in them in political drama or political theater, whatever
you want to call it. And Biden telling private companies, ignore what the second highest court in the land said and do what I say.
Yeah. You know, so whatever.
You know, that's right up there with him looking at the American people on the television screen and having the unbelievable audacity to say, my patience is running thin. I wanted to,
yes.
You have no idea what I wanted to do to that man at that point. Who in the Sam hell does he think he is?
Yeah, well, he's definitely not Trump. That's not what we'll say.
Yeah. My patience is running thin. Come here, buddy boy. I'll show you what Mama does when she gets talked to like that.
Yeah,
did you anybody out here happen to hear what broke today about the whistleblower at the FBI?
About what?
The whistleblower at the FBI?
I was busy all day, Dave. So.
Okay. Well, in brief, a Patriot whistleblower at the FBI has come forward with all the documents. He's already in conference with Congress.
They're going to kill him.
They've got all the they've got all the documentation where Merrick Garland and the FBI have already put together and been operating a section of the FBI going after American patriots.
And you really think the current Congress is going to do squat about that?
Well, if you want to get details on this, the best thing I can tell you is listen to the War Room, warroom.org. Go there and listen to this afternoon's broadcast. Jack Posobiec broke all this stuff wide open. He's got good sources in there. They've got this whistleblower has provided all the documentation substantiating this domestic
terrorism. Well, Dave, here's the problem. The Congress is legislative. They have no power to do anything to the judiciary.
Uh-huh.
Merrick Garland is the acting attorney general. So the only thing that can happen is for the criminals to prosecute themselves.
The most important thing here, everybody, is for the information about this stuff going on being spread as far and wide as possible. Because as we've said, let me finish, please. As we've said on this call and many other calls, and Terry and I talk about this pretty much almost weekly on her call, with what's going on, we are not going to go the way of Australia. We're getting much closer to the guns coming out here in the United States of America.
Yeah.
More people that really understand what's going on and understand it to be true, there's the point of no return is going to be reached, and the guns are going to come out, and there's going to be bloodshed. There's no question in my mind about that.
I'm going to raise one point, though, on what I said a couple of minutes ago where I said, going to Congress, the only thing that can be done is for the criminals to prosecute themselves. However, when you truly understand the structure of our republic, the fact that the people find out, that's what's important about this, is for us to spread that information as much as we can. Because where does the law enforcement land in regard to the people in this nation? Remember what I said, federal is irrelevant. They have no jurisdiction, neither does the FBI. They have no jurisdiction over us. Who does? Who is the highest law enforcement in this nation in regard to the people? That is the local sheriff. They are the highest law enforcement in the land in regard to the people. So not only do we need to understand what has happened, what is going on, what those nasty jerks in D.C. are cooking up in regard to, when you say patriots, we're talking about everybody on this call, okay? So what they're cooking up in regard to us, we need to have a relationship and a knowledge with our local sheriffs, whatever county you live in whatever state, find out about your sheriff. Of all of the public offices held, his or hers is the most important where you are concerned. So find out, do you have a constitutional sheriff? Do you have a semi-constitutional sheriff? Or do you have a globalist traitor as a sheriff? You need to know.
You're absolutely correct.
Because many of them, you know, many of them like our sheriff, we have a constitutional sheriff. He's up for re-election. But now there's another constitutional guy who's even more strict going up against him. So it's really important for the people in Cherokee County to understand there's even a difference. There's, what is that movie, Shades of Gray? There are shades of constitutional, if you get my drift.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you've got a sheriff that is just straight down the line constitutional and you can't bend him on any issue, you know, of constitutionality, that is the best of all ones. But you may have one who is pretty much strict to constitution, but will bend for certain things. And I know that ours has for certain things that don't necessarily affect us, but do affect certain members of his team, so to speak. So, you know, there are shades of constitutionality. It's really important to know. And know when, because usually when your sheriff is elected, it doesn't necessarily fall on the same cycle as the national elections, like the 2 year for Congress, you know, the 2 years for Congress, and then every 4 years you have the presidential and stuff. So you need to find out, if you don't know, in your county, when the cycles are, you know, when your sheriff is coming up for reelection, really do some digging on anybody standing up to run against him. And if you find that you have a globalist sold-out sheriff and you're not willing to run yourself, start looking around, talking to those in your community. Find a good candidate to go up against him.
Yeah, unfortunately, where I am in Dallas County, we don't have a real good sheriff here. Not real bad,
yeah, I know that.
But not real good either.
We don't have the best governor either, but he's good at pulling the wool over people's eyes.
Well,
right.
This is true, and we've got a good guy running for governor, Alan West. So there's a lot of retired military people that are really starting to step up across the country, Navy SEALs and many other people, retired military that are stepping up to run for public office, which we need very, very, very much. We've got three people with hands up here, so let's take a little break over and make sure we get questions answered for our overall purpose of being here. And with that said, let's go to area code 225.
Hello.
You're unmuted. Hello.
Hi, this is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
How are you tonight?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. I've been doing a lot of research lately on discovery. And I'm not sure how that's going to tie in with my summary judgment unless it goes to trial. My biggest question is that I know that originally because I did the motion to dismiss and the court never acknowledged that I had made the motion to dismiss and ruled on it, I was wondering, I probably still need to do my answers and affirmative defenses. And maybe
you need a ruling from the court.
Right, but I would have those ready with me at the courthouse when I go for my hearing on the 22nd.
Well, yeah, if you want to do that, if you figure that the court's going to say, okay, the motion for summary judgment, and just for everybody's benefit, that she's in a situation where she's been sued, and she put in a motion to dismiss, and the court has not done anything with it. The other side then went forward and put in a motion for summary judgment, which she has argued, and one of the big arguments being the fact that there's been a denial of due process. There's been no ruling by the court on her on her motion to dismiss. Therefore, there hasn't even been an answer made in the case. And, of course, the other side said she answered, made a general denial, which is pure BS. So, anyway, that gives you a little overview. So she's looking to be prepared if she prevails on her opposition to the motion for summary judgment, then she wants to be prepared for that. My suggestion to you would be don't be in a hurry.
Okay.
The reason for that is, what do you benefit from a hurry? Virtually nothing.
Yeah.
If the court rules in your favor and denies the motion for summary judgment and says, you need to answer within, 10 days, 14 days, or whatever, that gives you a little more time to do a little more study and get things arranged a little bit better instead of trying to be in a hurry to get something done and take with you. There's no benefit to you being fast at this point. There's greater benefit to you slowing the process down and having more time to think and study and learn.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, because I know if I were to answer with my answer in affirmative defenses, my affirmative defenses now with what I know would probably incorporate more into it than what originally was in the original you know, the
right.
original
Right. Right. Okay. Well, that's just one more reason why you don't want to be in a hurry. You want to see what the
right.
judge says. The judge rules in your favor and says you've got, you know, 10 days to answer. Okay. You know, you can start preliminarily drawing up a answer and affirmative defenses, but that gives you a little more time to study over the proper affirmative defenses and the answer to go along with it. But, yeah, there's no reason for you to be in a hurry, not at this point.
Okay. So I get to this hearing, and I pretty much found some verbiage on how the procedure basically will go. The plaintiff will be able to tell his side of the story, and then I'll be able to, you know, answer him back, and then of course he has another opportunity to say anything to what I said. So
generally, that's about the way it's going to work. It should work. You know, you get your opportunity to present your side of the story. I think the most important thing I can tell you is know to a T exactly what every argument is that you've got that you put in before the court, and you've got a lot of them. I know. I know what
yeah.
she has submitted to the court. I have seen it.
Yeah.
So you make sure that you know that so you can step up and defend every single argument that you've made. And, you know, one of the big ones is denial of due process. You know, you filed a motion to dismiss with the court. The court has never ruled on it, has never noticed you of anything. And you've been waiting, thinking there's logically long delays and things because of COVID, et cetera. And now they come up with summary judgment. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, this is a little premature
yeah.
here. So you need to be well-versed on your arguments and, you know, be able to very straightforwardly tell the court, you know, for you to rule in favor of the plaintiff in this case is denying me due process, plain and simple. Because the court did not make a rule, has not made a ruling and sent any notice to any parties regarding the motion to dismiss. And if the court's going to deny the motion to dismiss, so be it. But I, deny me due process and not allow me to move forward with the case, including discovery, that's appealable. Clearly appealable. So make sure that you know your arguments upside down and backwards when you go in there.
Yeah. Even if the denial of the process was that the clerk of court entered it as an answer to my complaint and not as a motion to dismiss, I mean, it clearly states that it's a motion to dismiss. It should have been.
Court error is not your fault.
All right.
If the court makes an error, if the court clerk makes an error, that doesn't entitle the other side to deny you of due process. You know, it's a if that's what happened with the clerk, it's a mistake. But mistakes can be corrected, as you well know.
Right.
Okay, when the way they correct the mistake is to say, okay, the judge can say, well, I'm going to grant your motion to dismiss or I'm going to deny it. I'm going to deny your motion to dismiss, but you have, you know, 10 days, 14 days or whatever to answer, to file an answer with the court, and then the case will proceed on a normal timeline, entitling you to discovery and other things allowable under the rules. But you do want to be thinking about discovery, too, and, you know, studying John's stuff that he's got on the website, because he's got a lot of tremendous amount of good information in there. So you want to be able to take advantage of that, but you got to get to that point first.
Yeah. Well, I had actually started trying to get those kinds of things together, too. Because I know there's going to be a lot of stuff to have to write down, and of course a lot of it I could probably cut and paste, but
well, the big things is to formulate an outline, you know, and I don't know how you go about writing stuff. What I'll do is I'll type down different subject matter, just a short sentence to remind me of what I need to do, and I'll put that, and then what I do is I start, when I go to start my documents that are related to that, I just go down through that list of notes, and sometimes maybe I got to change them and put them in different order, but the main thing is I've got the subject matter and what I need to cover, or specific things I need to mention or arguments that need to be possibly accented in some way. You know, everybody's got their own way of doing things, but don't try and run your clock faster than it needs to be. That's my best suggestion to you.
Okay. I'm just getting nervous, I guess.
Don't be nervous. It's just, you know, you just make sure that you know your arguments and you can speak to them well. Practice speaking. Think in terms of, okay, what's that judge likely to ask me? You know, the arguments the other side's going to make, you know, the other side said such and such. Well, you know, what the other side, Your Honor, what the other side said is not true. What they stated in their motion for summary judgment is not true. They stated that I filed a answer, a plain denial with the court, which puts them in a legal position where they can file motions, i.e. this motion for summary judgment. I did not file any answer with the court. The court clerk can show you exactly what's on the docket, and it may be misfiled under the improper title, but the document that was filed, if the court will look at that specific document, it plainly says it's a motion to dismiss, and the court has not noticed me that it has been filed as anything other than that. And the reason I have not moved forward with anything is I have waited for an answer from the court on my motion to dismiss, and figured that the delay taking place was without question related to COVID slowing everything down.
Right.
You know, you need to be able to articulate that stuff.
I did go through all my documents that I've received so far, and I put them in an order so that I would know exactly how they came in to me. And I did
right.
notice upon doing that there was a basically when I filed my motion to dismiss and my notice of dispute, that's when the lawyer from the other side, the plaintiff, sent me another that Dunning letter that I attached to my affidavits dated September the 22nd, and that he basically was answering that court notice of dispute that I entered into the court. And I find that
okay.
kind of funny, knowing that the motion to dismiss wasn't even addressed. But
well, that's not really, that shouldn't have any effect whatsoever on a motion to dismiss, because it's not related to it in any way.
Right.
That's a completely separate issue.
Right, but I mean, I know that the plaintiff was in receipt of both of those documents, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I forwarded them. So.
Right.
Anyway.
Just remember,
well,
though,
you wanna,
David, I won't
yeah,
jump
you want to
in,
stay
but,
on point. Go ahead.
Yeah, just remember, hold on, Dave. Let me say something you didn't say and you should have said. That whenever you're dealing with a motion to dismiss, you are constrained to the four corners of the complaint. You can't go outside of anything that's within that complaint. So you want to point out any defects that are there, either false claims or by the civil rules of civil, or the rules of civil procedure, they're not following certain things. That's what you want to prove. You don't have anything to prove. You want to point out. Let the judge get it. The judge is going to come back and either rule on it and say, yes, your motion is dismissed, and tell the other side what they have to do to get it correct, or they're going to tell you they're not dismissing it and why. So then you have, either way, you get the fix. Doesn't matter which side wins or loses, you're going to get the fix. So just like Dave said, keep it within the complaint itself. You cannot leave the four corners of that complaint. So whatever allegations, they say your hair is purple and it's black, well, then say, you know, this allegation is incorrect. My hair is black, Your Honor. You know what I mean? You don't want to come out and say, well, you know, it could be purple because I sometimes and blah. You don't want any of that nonsense. You want to stay within those four corners and very firmly within those four corners.
Right, and I do understand that because the original complaint had no documentation attached to it whatsoever. It was a citation that listed as an open account and made six or seven, you know, statements and asked the court to rule in judgment in favor of them, you know, just on piece of paper. And so when they filed the summary judgment, that's when they attached all the documentation that they had previously given me in a, you know, when I asked for validation of the document.
Right.
Before it went to court, they had sent me this information, and they attached that information to the summary judgment and the affidavit from a so-called document
custodian.
Custodian, correct. Or whatever.
And what did you file, just curious, in response to a summary judgment? What was the motion? Just curious.
It's the opposition to the plaintiff's summary judgment.
Good. Motion and opposition to the summary judgment. Okay, good. You're on the ball with that. All right, fantastic. Just curious.
Yeah, the one thing I think is a real strong point for her is in their motion for summary judgment, they actually state the law that allows them to be able to file at this point in time in the case, and they state in there that she has filed a general denial into the case. Therefore, the next step, according to the law, allows them to file for summary judgment. That is not a true statement.
Oh,
so that's a procedural problem right there.
Correct.
So I think she's got real strong grounds to stand on, at least to get things back to the beginning and then move forward with it.
Sounds like it. Really well, actually.
Okay, does that answer your question? Questions?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm just going to focus on doing my opening statement when I'm allowed to answer any questions that they might have or to tell my side, basically.
It's going to be your rebuttal talking about what you put in your written documents. It's going to be your rebuttal to their assertion that they are entitled to summary judgment because there's no issues of material fact. Remember, what's the one thing, and this is for everybody's benefit, I've said this hundreds and hundreds of times through the years. Your focus in a summary judgment, if you're trying to get it, you have to show that there's no issues of material fact before the court. And if you're defending it, you have to show that there is at least one. You may be able to point out 15, but that you only have to convince the court that there's at least one issue of material fact that would preclude summary judgment and it has to move forward to a trial. So you don't ever lose sight of that when you're in a summary judgment situation.
Now, if the opposite side, when they're given their side of the story, if they try to bring in something else other than what was originally in there, I mean, do I have an obligation to object to that?
If they're trying to bring something else in, you want to object to it, absolutely.
Okay.
Because remember, you've gotten your written opposition, but now you're an oral argument to supplement your written opposition.
Right.
That's why you want to know it by heart, absolutely by heart, how to explain every point you made. But the bottom line is, there's at least one issue of material fact here. And, Your Honor, I believe the most important one here is, if you were to grant that, I would be denied due process simply because you never answered, you never ruled on my motion for dismissal, and you went straight from no answer on dismissal to summary judgment, which is without question an appealable situation.
And I shouldn't have to state the article 966 again to him. He knows that.
Well, where they stated the law, they're saying, oh, well, you filed a general denial. That's not a true statement. That's a lie.
Right.
And they got a copy of the document, and they know it's a lie. What they're doing is, if the clerk put it in as something else, they're going by what it says on the docket. And you need to point out, Your Honor, you would do well to look at the document that was filed on such and such a date, and you will see that the title of that document is Motion to Dismiss. It is not an answer and affirmative defenses by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
It would appear that there was an error made by the clerk, potentially an error made by the clerk, but no answer and or affirmative defenses were filed in this case. Point out them making a mistake. Absolutely.
Okay.
But that's covered in your paperwork. You just need to verbalize it.
Yep. I need to know it back and forth.
That's right.
Back and forth.
Backward, forward, upside
up and down.
Down, from every direction. And don't be afraid to stand up there. I mean, just take the attitude that I've got when I walk into a courtroom. They're just people.
Right.
That judge is nobody special.
Totally
they're just people.
That's right.
They're just human beings. They don't look like me. I have no problem walking in and sitting down at the table up in the front of a federal courtroom and having a discussion with a federal judge. I've done it. And felt very, very comfortable in doing so, simply because of the attitude that I had. I knew what my situation was, and I was actually recognized in the one situation by the magistrate judge. I was recognized because she understood that I was, I can't remember the exact word she said, but something to the effect that I was a rather knowledgeable pro se litigant. She actually said something to that effect. I don't remember the exact words, but she had been told by people, hey, this guy's, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's talking about. So, you know, just don't be afraid to go in there. I mean, they're going to jump over the table and bite you. So do your thing. Tell your story.
Hard. That's right.
Tell your story. What else you got? Anything?
Well, the only thing, other thing I was going to say, it's not in relation to my case, but I was just curious if anyone had seen anything on about devolution.
Devolution?
Mm-hmm. Yep, devolution.
Mm-mm.
It's a continuity of government. Anyway.
Oh, there's a lot of opinions out there on that. Seems to me I've heard them devolution recently, but I don't.
What is it?
Know anything about it?
It's a continuity of the government plan that was put in place at the same time when Trump brought all the special forces under one person instead of through the individual branches in the bureaucracy. And the purpose of devolution is to reduce the government to its basic functions on the international level. It takes place after the occupying government, which is the fake government that is occupying things, steps in. So on the surface, it appears that a certain group, an illegitimate group, is in control, whereas the military has reduced the basic functions down, and they're operating the basics in the back without the deposed leader actually overtly in office. And it's kind of like when a coup takes place, but the military seizes control and stabilizes the government, stabilizes the country until things are restored.
That would be why Trump still has the football. That's under that. Go ahead, John.
And things exactly like that you'll see on the international stage that the occupiers were dead set against in the election, but they've done anyways, and it doesn't hit the mainstream news because it runs against the narrative. I can't think of a good example right now, but there was just one recently. And so there's a guy, if you watch X-22, one of the people he's featured, he's called Patel Patriot. He's got a whole podcast thing, and he's on Substack, and he explains this. And he does what we do in the legal stuff, where he's gone through and documented all the theories backed up with documentation, and when things were implemented, what was put in place. And so it's a really interesting theory. And there's a guy named Ezra Cohen Watnick, who was in the stack for the special forces, who is one of the players, and then another guy that Trump made the head of this special section just like around it in December. What was his name?
Cash Patel.
No, Cash Patel is one of the people. He was in the government, but he is involved in this. But it's one of the military's leaders, and no one you've probably heard of. But he gave a speech to the affected troops in such a way, in thanking the president, that it's like it's actually backs up everything with this theory. Like the ball started rolling then.
I remember that presentation, okay, so. But I can't think of the guy's name.
Can I just make sure I'm not here to see if I'm correct, if I'm following you guys properly here? So what you're saying is that this is a shadow government being run by Trump on the backside.
On the backside.
Not exactly. Except that it's lawful.
His is lawful, but they're allowing these other people to appear like they're in control, and they're having to play. And here is the thing: this goes along with the theory that Trump was selected by people way beforehand, and they knew the 16 election was going to be bad. They figured it out. The 22 election, they actually documented everything forensically through the Space Force and the NSA. They tracked all the IP addresses. You know, remember when he opened up all the new IP addresses and there's the military, like, controls a big, big chunk of the cybersphere. So they got all that. And then they got this last election, and they're doing the audits right now. Audits are going on all over the place.
Oh, yeah, they
and,
are.
Right. But on the surface, these people appear to be in control. And because Trump set the 20-year plan back by unwinding everything in rapid succession and also demonstrating that he could take the levers of government by taking the Federal Reserve control out and drop the interest rate, keep them from doing bad things, all this other stuff. But anyways, so they're running in the background. The other people are in the front ground appearing and on paper trying to make things catch up with the global plan, the Klaus Schwab plan for a global government under the UN, but a technocratic state where they actually can track you, and the vaccine passport is actually going to be like that China ID, but they're going to eliminate currency, and all your banking is going to be through your phone, like your life's through your phone. And the vaccines are part of the control, where you're going to have to be revaccinated every 6 months, and they can get rid of you too with that. And a lot of people have died, but it's to show the people till we can get a critical mass that they see that what's going on is illegitimate and against everything even the people that voted for him thought they voted for. And it's exposing the plan to fold it under, because every country has Build Back Better. That was in Klaus Schwab's book. And they make it like Biden's Build Back Better plan. Well, you know, so did the guy in England, so did France, so did all these other countries. They're all in the same thing. We're just a little bit behind schedule. Australia gave up their weapons through coercion, and they were stupid. New Zealand, Canada voted on it. It kicks in April, where everyone's supposed to turn their weapons in, and they're trying their darndest here. Because you look at Australia.
Well, I didn't hear about Canada turning in weapons. What happens in Canada is they got to re-register their weapons. What that means is they'll be re-registering, taking them forever to get their registration on, if they get it at all. So that's what
I heard.
And
it's going to limit,
sure,
the word, that limit certain weapons.
Hold on, one at a time, guys.
Yeah, that's just their sneaky workaround.
Right. But, I mean, the main thing going on is these people are going as quick as they can, catch up with the plan they missed because they didn't have Hillary, you know, with her 8 years of the plan. And it's showing you in fast motion what they're actually doing. So the average person stuck to the boob tube that can't afford it anymore and is getting their stuff from the internet and finds something alternative, they're starting to realize, hey, and that's why the ratings, you know, when he's like in the 30s and she's in the 20s, and they're trying to pass these trillions and trillions of dollars of stuff, and they're out and outright lying with things, and most people can see that. And even in New York, when you consider the African American population that refuses to be vaccinated is somewhere it's huge, and you'll see people on the internet that list off not just Tuskegee and a couple other things, like 28 instances where the government, the military, or the pharmacy industry attacked their population with specific things that did a lot of damage. And so they're
they're around 65% non-vaccinated in the black community in New York.
Well, one of the markers in the devolution stuff was when we reached a certain critical mass, and that was actually last month. More people than ever in October, you know, came around, and Q called it Red October, and the red wave. That's what we had with the elections, but also all these people woke up about this crap. And, you know, like the Lincoln Project going out and at the Yunkin rally, and they were dressed like Klansmen, but one of the people in the group was African-American, and people said, what's up with that? They're sitting there wearing the robes, holding tiki torches. And then it came out, it was people from the Lincoln Project that were there doing that, you know, the
yep.
one that had the pedophile guy they tried to get rid of quickly. So again and again, you'll see instances where this plan is working and it's exposing people. And the number of politicians that are announcing they're retiring or not mm-hmm. running again is really interesting. And then
yes,
CEOs of company,
yeah.
like, for example, the chairman of Barclays Bank just resigned quickly without mm-hmm. any battle at all. When it came out, he had like 288 interactions with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
Danny and I, my wife's been watching that. She's like, hey, have you seen this? And I'm like, holy crap.
Where does all this information come from? Outside of the, you know, all the monitoring that's been going on, because there's battles between the branches of the military and the groups of control, and military intelligence is the back end of it. But there's been a tectonic shift in there where they are. But, you know, some of this we know about in the public because remember Anthony Weiner's laptop and all the stuff on there and supposed murders and things, and the police got it and hid it. Remember Seth Rich's laptop that was hidden
mm-hmm.
in a nook in one of the Congress buildings, and the police got it there? And
the flash stick he had in his pocket.
Right.
He had a flash stick.
Up the head of the Democrats. I want that thing back. It's mine. It wasn't his because he worked for me. And the police said no. They kept that. And now, not only is there Hunter's computer number one, there's Hunter's computer number two, and they contain a lot of stuff. What was the last tidbit we got? Back before the 2016 election, there were email exchanges between Hunter and someone else where they were discussing his father's dementia.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
In great detail.
Man, I don't know where I've been. I don't know where I've been missing all this information. You haven't shared anything. I got some stuff I got to talk to
you
about.
Well, I've been too busy with other stuff, but...
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what, Jesse? The devolution stuff, it takes a lot of time. I'm going to, you know, justify and agree with everything John said because I've been following it too, and it is complicated and really deep, and it's not something that you just, you know, share out with a link.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And the 10,000 foot view of this, the 10,000 foot view of this all goes back to like George Orwell stuff and like that. And basically that you've got a technocratic dictatorship of oligarchs who are, you know, super multi-billionaires that can put this stuff in place, and they want to get people off the public lands, corral them into cities, reduce the population, and then they're going to have a technocratic dictatorship where you don't own anything, you rent everything, it will be provided and delivered to you, and you'll be happy. That's what it says in Klaus Schwab's book. They're going to do this through the vaccination. They're going to reduce the populations down. And, you know, you have to go to the cities. And the people, you know, remember years ago we used to hear about these stacks of coffins everywhere?
Oh, I've seen pictures.
Yeah,
I
saw them.
They're designed for this scenario that's going on right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
You know,
that's what I've been
FEMA
saying.
The FEMA camps that Obama built were to put the people that refused the vaccine in.
Yeah, John, did you happen to catch Mel Kay's conversation this week with Charlie Ward? She had gone to the climate conference thing in Scotland.
Okay.
Glasgow.
Yeah, in Glasgow. And, boy, she was just ticked when she got back, and she told everybody what the whole thing was about and what they were planning to do, and that Klaus Schwab and a couple of other people, you know, were running the whole thing, and that everybody who went there and agreed to it is now a treasonous criminal. And she said, what was it you were saying? Oh, damn, it was just in my head, because she said, what did you say the first thing?
I don't know. I said too much.
No, that they were doing with the
building the internment camp.
Yeah, the internment camps and all that. Just before that, you had said something.
And making you take the vaccine.
Right, the calcins and
no, it had. Oh yeah, well I saw a field full of those coffins, so. And I know that they are real.
I've seen the pictures.
Yeah, now it went out of. Yeah, but it went along with what you were talking about. That she said, well, how they were planning on accomplishing all of this. It'll come to me. It'll come to me in a minute. So go ahead, and when I think of it,
that's okay. But you know, the thing is, it's basically we've got a worldwide central banking system that's privately owned, that, you know, the world headquarters are in Switzerland, basically the Bank of International Settlements and all that are there.
Yeah.
And all the other banks are below that, so they can bring it all under one currency and digitize it, so there's no more paper, so no more cheating on taxing. Part of the global tax treaty they came up on corporations was all to support part of that. And then below the bankers, if you look at the stock market, which is manipulated, there are two companies that control all the corporations in the world through interlocking boards of directors and their subsidiaries and all the rest. One is called the Vanguard Group, which is the one, the way it's structured, no one knows who the actual owners of that are. And
yeah,
then the one
Black
below
Rock
that
is
BlackRock. BlackRock.
Yep.
So those two are the main things that control all the corporations, all the trade, and everything in the world, and the banks are the ones that lend money to governments for the bailouts. And then they come.
Oh, now I remember. I remember, John. She stated that what was said there at that conference was that there would be 3,000 billionaires, the 3,000 billionaires in the elite club, in the world, who would own literally and control all of the Earth's resources. And we would, all the people left, would have to rely on them allowing access.
Yep, that's basically it. And with this thing, the way it's set up, then, you know, below, you've got the management companies, the money management companies that manage the businesses and stuff. And it's like a limited partnership structure like Blackstone has. And they manage the wealth of the super wealthy in the world. And then you've got the innovators like the Tesla guy and Amazon and all the rest, who are coming up with this new stuff and have come up with massive companies. And then the data aggregators like Facebook and Google, which are private companies, that would handle what they pump out to the people in the technological background. And you don't really need the military with this control, because people are dependent on, if they don't get their vaccine every 6 months, they're going to die. And you don't really need the police, because like Google has gone so far with the big dog thing that they have. They've figured out how to arm them, make them absolutely perfect shots with the things that run around like a dog, you know, and instead of the head, you've got a rifle. And they have RoboCop then, you know, this little thing that's going to come and wipe you out. And they think they can run the whole world that way. So back to George Orwell, it's like Animal Farm. You know, people
yep.
are sheep on a farm to do their bidding, and they can be harvested at any time for any purpose, and they're going to live like gods.
Yep.
Well,
okay.
And what
hey, guys. Whoa. We've got two more people with their hands up here. I want to make sure we've got plenty of time to get these people in before we get into a bunch more discussion on this. If we got time, we can come back to it, of course. But we got people. Their questions may be related to debt issues, and that's our main purpose here.
That's what we're here for.
That's right. Okay. It's been an interesting discussion. I'm sure not taking anything away from that. I mean, this is stuff that people should know, but we need to focus on what we're doing here. So let's go to 702. 702, you're unmuted.
Hey, you know what? I'm following you guys, but I just have a quick question, and this may be geared more towards Jesse. But
yes, ma'am.
Last year, when everything, the whole housing market, everything, I actually did a forbearance on my house. And I wanted to refinance, but, you know, of course, Terry and them know that I'm dealing with a thing from Cap One. And so that drove down everything, and I wasn't able to refi and everything. So now I'm approaching where it's coming up. So what do I do? What can I do at this point?
Okay, go ahead. Repeat that again. You did a forbearance, and now what?
Yes.
I lost you for a second there.
To where payments are coming up, which I'm fine with, but what do I do about, you know, probably refinancing, that kind of stuff, or...
And you talk to them directly.
Okay.
Because they're your bank, right? So they're the ones that are going to do whatever they're going to do.
Okay.
They might refinance you. They might do whatever. Does that make sense?
Got it.
If they did your forbearance with you, why wouldn't they work with you in any other way?
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So, hey, I got mine down at my property down at 3%. On a jumbo, which, John, you know, that's pretty damn good.
Yep.
So, you know, yeah. And mine's a 40-year amortization on a 30-year loan. So, I mean, I worked out a pretty good deal with them. Yeah. And then, of course, here's the irony to the whole thing. So right in the middle of this, you know, we already had them backed in the corner, okay, with assignments and blah, 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 blah. Right in the middle of all this, they transfer the loan to some other trust. And then I told Tanner, I said, you know, Tanner, I almost want to start this again and say, screw you. Like, I'm going to take this all the way. And then, of course, after 35 years of marriage, might as well say happy marriage. And Dave knows my wife. I went in and discussed that with my wife, and I got about as far as a sentence. And she said, no, I'm done. It's been 14 years. Okay? I don't want to hear no more bullshit. Sign the damn paperwork. We're done. I said, okay, babe. I'm like, yes, sweetheart. You know, hey, she deserves it. I got a great wife. So anyway, a week after we signed everything, I get a notice that they sold it to yet another servicing company. I said, baby, they're really pushing my, you know. She's like, no, don't give a damn if they sell it to Jesus Christ himself. You sign that paperwork and we're done. I don't want to hear about no more foreclosures. Done. It's over. So here I am. But, so, yeah, you can negotiate. You know, I mean, I did my own beating that I could on the side without aggravating the wife too much. She deserves a little better than that. But, so you can ask them, and they will, you know, move around for you and work with you a little better. Trust me. Especially if you've accomplished what you're supposed to have done in the forbearance. If you met all your obligations, they'll work with you. They like that.
Okay.
Because, remember, as soon as you sign everything, they'll sell it to somebody. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You can bet. I'll bet you my life savings on that.
I would agree.
It's just money in their pocket. Why wouldn't they do it?
Right.
That's the way they do things.
Yeah. I mean, literally, I'm telling you, I signed the paperwork, and when I got it back, hi, welcome to whatever the hell this new servicing company is. Your loan's been transferred, and we're the new owners of your note. I'm like, ah, you little sucker. So, yeah. You know, but mind you, I have an 800 credit score now. I mean, you know what I'm saying? My wife has a 783. I just seen hers yesterday. So it's a good loan. Proof of income, $50,000 down. You know, I mean, they look at that and they go, okay, well, hell, I can repackage this into, you know, a pretty good package to get out there. So just think about that, you know, how they manipulate the whole system. No different than we manipulate it. I don't, I'm the first to admit it. So I don't have, listen, rules are meant to be used, right? So if they're in my favor, I use them. If they're in your favor, I try to block them. But regardless, I mean, they're meant to be used.
That's the game. You have to learn to play.
Exactly. Exactly. So I knew that. When I got that, I'm like, you son of a bitch. We got perfect credit now. You know, we qualified like as if John were to have to sell me a house and I have to go qualify. Literally, like, okay, here's money in the bank. Here's proof of income. I'm going to wire you 50 grand, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just like, just no different than if I was buying the house cold turkey. So now they got this, you know, I don't even know what you call that anymore, John. What is it, grade A or whatever the hell they call that loan that, you know, I don't know what they call it, but, you know, it's a perfect buyer. You know, multiple people, both high credit scores, good income, you know, proof of asset. I mean, I had to qualify, basically, which was easy. I mean, it didn't. But because I did, I was able to call my own terms, if that makes any sense to you. Even on the W, on the 1099, I'm not getting a 1099 for 4 years on what I made them forgive, which is like 450 grand. And when I get that 1099, yeah, when I get that 1099, of course, I'll just dispute it, and it'll go away also. But the point is that before I get that 1099, maybe Biden will screw up and make it forgivable or something. Who knows? Yeah. We're not even there yet. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, this is why, you know, you got to think all this through. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Just okay, does that answer your questions?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, we have got another caller from 201, and you've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening, everyone. This is Kevin Fryer. I hope you enjoyed this call. Okay, but let me give my question answer.
Stop laughing so we can understand you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm excited. Okay, all right. So we.
I love your attitude, by the way. God bless you. I love your look. God bless you and every ounce
so
of your whole body weight.
Yeah.
No,
she gets
good,
so excited
that's
sometimes.
We're supposed to be.
Can't hardly understand what she's trying to say.
Oh, God is so good all the time. Okay. We have our hearing tomorrow for state. This is
lucky you.
Cat, I know. This is about the crazy old CEO, the foreclosed, I mean, the repossessed truck, our opposition to the summary judgment. Similar to Kathy's situation, they filed the case with no exhibits and so forth. Now, we have quite a few material evidence to present. But my question is that we were talking about the amount, because I said I would never tell them anything about the money we allegedly owed unless the judge brings it up, okay? So my question is, if the judge actually asked, well, what do you think we owe, would a good response would be, well, that's why we're here, and that will be answered during the trial? Can we come back with an answer like that or some suggestions yet?
I didn't understand exactly what you said there. I don't think I heard all of it.
Okay. The question is, everything is about this account-level documentation. There's no itemized information. There's no statements showing itemization. We did a sworn denial. We denied the amount, and so on and so forth. Now, the question I'm having is that one of our arguments, well, we have quite a few, but one of them in particular is that, again, when it was filed, there was no evidence of itemized charges. There is no interest showing that they said it's 12%, and we denied the amount owed. If the judge come back and ask for what you feel that you owe, what would be a right response to that? Because I said one time I'm not going to just give away free information. Me and Brian did put together the amount that we feel that it was calculated incorrectly, but I don't want to tell them that unless we have to go to trial, and the burden of proof is on them, too.
Your Honor, the burden of proof is not on the defendant. It's on the plaintiff, and they have failed to produce that.
Oh, I like that answer. Okay.
Well, stop and think about that for a minute. Well, how much do you think is owed? Your Honor, the burden of proof is not on us. It's not on the defendants. The burden of proof is on the plaintiff. They're the one that brought the claim. They should be able to specifically, through evidence, show what is owed. And they have failed to do so. They haven't provided this, 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 and this.
All right. Nice.
If the court says, well, do you think it could be close, or do you think they're in the ballpark? You know, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. My answer would be, Your Honor, that's pure speculation. And I'm under oath. I can't be guessing.
I can't speculate. I can only speak to facts.
Exactly.
You turn it right back around on them.
Yes, question with a question. Oh, nice. Nice. Okay.
Well, a statement of the obvious.
Yeah.
Because
as far as you know,
plaintiff, it's not on you.
At this point in time, the plaintiff has not proven you owe 10 cents to anybody for anything.
All right.
The plaintiff appears to believe they can just come in here and say somebody owes a lot of money, and they expect the court to rule in their favor. The rules of evidence say otherwise. The whole basis of them bringing a complaint before this court is that they need to be able to prove their case or they don't get a judgment in their favor. And scant evidence is not proof.
Okay.
They haven't provided this, 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 and this.
So
they're
just
coming up with a figure
evidence.
And saying this is what they owe. That's, you know, that's not evidence. That's simply a statement by an attorney. And we all know that attorneys at times do not tell the truth.
Right. Just like the evidence, like it's just showing up on application from nowhere. Okay. And that is another one of our issue of material evidence, the facts that. So my last question is, if we always come back to that one question that I like the way John always makes and help us and you all when it came to discovery, when it came to the signature, if they say, is this your signature? Did you sign this paper or this contract? Is this your signature? No. And you have to ask the person who got the copy from, basically. Yeah.
No, you'd have to ask the person that made the copy.
Right. I would simply say no, leave it at that. Just no. That's not
right.
My signature. Well, you're saying that's not your signature on this contract. Well, that appears to be a copy of something, and I don't know where it came from or who made the copy. You'd have to ask them. But that's
right. here,
not an
here
original.
Again. Yeah, here again. Keep this in mind. I've said this hundreds and hundreds of times. When you're answering a question, especially of the court, or when you're under oath and you're dealing with a case, if you can answer a question in three words, you better not say four, because if you give anything more, every word you say is a potential landmine to blow you up.
Yep.
Just think about that.
Nope.
Think about your answer. You don't have to answer fast. You think about your answer before you move your lips.
Yeah, like in normal conversation, you have a tendency to clarify your statements, you know, when you're telling somebody something. And that's natural. We all do it. But under this circumstance, when you're in a court, you absolutely must go to every effort not to do that. Give your answers because you have to tell the truth, but you don't have to give them what they want, and you don't need to clarify anything unless the court asks you to.
Right. And if the court asks you to clarify something, that doesn't mean you got to throw up on them. You can give them some tidbits, and then the court, you know, instead of giving them a full meal, give them tidbits. And if they want more, you know, they say, well, Your Honor, we need to, you know, well, let the judge say, well, you know, I want more information. What about this or this? Make them draw it out of you. Don't throw up on them and give them what they want. And again, like Terry said, and I'm going to reiterate it in a big way here, we are used to answering, having normal conversations. When you get in that courtroom, you need to focus your thought process on, I need to think about every single question before I say anything.
You know what?
Slow,
get in your mind
down.
That you're not, there is no conversation in a courtroom, and you have to tell yourself, this is not a conversation. It's an interrogation.
Right.
Wow. Thanks for saying that.
Because picture this. What if you were arrested for murder? Okay? And you know you didn't do it because you weren't there and you weren't even in the state or whatever. Okay? And they start interrogating you and asking you questions, right? Well, why is it that the law says you have the right to an attorney and not answer their questions at all? Okay? That is what it's like. If you were being accused of murder, you wouldn't sit there and just start spilling out a big story and giving the prosecutor loopholes, like what's happening to Rittenhouse right now, you know, and they're complaining because he clammed up and kept his mouth shut like the lawyer tells him to, like he has every right to do. That's what you do. You just picture yourself being grilled on charges of murder. You're not going to say one word that you don't have to. And a lawyer wouldn't tell you to.
Nice. I like that scenario. That's a good acting. That's good. All right. That can work too. Perfect. Okay. Since I'm the last caller, we just went to something called a 55 and older apartment of corporation under Windsor Run. Now, we felt when we walked in there, this is an apartment that you have to pay minimum $250,000. And they will give you...
Wait a minute. Did you say 250,000?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. What do you get for that? I'm just curious.
It better be the Taj Mahal.
I'm kind of curious.
You know, that was only for one bedroom, one bath apartment. And with that, they give you, they keep 10% and you get back 90% when you leave, right? No interest. Now, on top of that, you have to pay what they call a service fee of $2,500 a month. This service fee will get you gated community. You get a food allotment for $400 a month. You, there's a doctor on staff. All your utilities are paid, and you get one carport. And then I said,
$400 a month food allowance. You can't feed your dog on that in today's prices.
Right.
Exactly.
And they have a cafeteria there. So that $400 is for the food served on premises, but you cannot carry over. If you don't use your $400, you can't carry it over. And then I said, wait a minute. You're telling me we have to give you $250,000 to, and we have to pay a monthly, basically, rent to be on your premises, and I don't get you don't even invest my money. I don't get that money invested, and you keep 10% of my $250,000. You keep that, and they go, yes. I said, and how many apartments do you have? They said 400. You have 400, and people are buying into this? And they go, yes, we're almost full. And
brain
they
dead
are
people.
All over they're all over the state. And I know what we all talk about the country, I'm sorry, all over the country. And they just built another section. And I'm like, wait a minute. So they said, now, during COVID, here was the picture. So what happened during COVID? They said during COVID, they locked people in. They said they were not allowed to have companies come on the premises, that their food was delivered outside, and the people who worked there were able to bring the food in. You could not get any outside company. I said, you telling me this is a law. They said, we follow the CDC law. I said, that's not even a law. That's not even a mandate. And I'm like, you literally kept people here. They said it was 90 days.
You know what that boils down to, Jim? Mm. That is a perfect description of buying yourself a slot in a FEMA camp.
Yes. Right? Yes.
And paying for the privilege.
I was like, you're paying to die there? I said, wait a minute. The minimum was $250,000. The maximum was $680,000 for two baths with a gym with a study. And I'm like, oh, they're really setting us up to kill us. They're scared. And they said, oh, and everyone's here. They came in to vaccinate everyone, and now they're ready for the booster shot. I just looked at Brian and said, oh, hell to the no. We got to get out of here. They are two miles and blind.
Real quick.
Yeah, I said, well, that's an investment. If they want to invest in something like that, that's the way to go. I said, oh, we're going to cook and kill us at the same time. 55 and older community. So, look that up. It's under Erickson, but the name of the development was called Winter Run. But Erickson are the people who are backing all this up.
Larry Fink and others.
Say that again, Dave.
Larry Fink. It's called BlackRock.
Yep.
It's called. Yes.
No,
yes.
I'm talking the big money behind it.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's
Larry Fink is the CEO of BlackRock. Like John was saying earlier.
Yes.
BlackRock and Vanguard run the show. And BlackRock, one of their big things is one of the big things is the real estate. BlackRock has been buying tens of thousands of homes.
And the point I was going to make when we were on that subject before, I'm going to say it before I forget, those 3,000 billionaires who intend to run the entire world and own everything, they actually have been in possession of over 6,000 technologies, some of them ET, but technologies that have since the early 1940s, that I have not been shared with the public. And they truly believe, these people, they are so sick and twisted, they truly believe that they can attain immortality and live forever with 500 million humans, no more than that, to be their slaves in perpetuity. That's what
they
believe.
The Ray Kurzweil thing for living forever. Transhumanism.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to my spiel and helping me. And we'll look forward to Thursday call. Let's tell you how we did tomorrow. All right.
Okay.
Good luck.
Bless you all. Thank you.
Well, thanks for sharing
that,
Kim, because I didn't know about that at all. I hadn't heard about that. But now if anybody mentions it to me, I'll be like, get the hell away from there.
All you got to do is hear them say the figures, and then you know it's time to turn around and leave. That is not rational to any reasonable person, period.
I mean, I won't have anything to do. I won't have anything to do with an HOA. That takes an HOA to a whole different level.
Level. Oh, and I forgot, that was for one person. If you wanted two people, so let's say he and Brian wanted to do this, that one fee was just for Brian, $2,500. If I wanted to bring Brian, I had to pay another $950 just to bring him on board. A month. And then you have to pay for your car, $75 for the car. I said, can't you buy it? I said, what is wrong with us?
Yeah. Well,
they can ask for it,
but that doesn't mean they're going to get it.
Well, you know, Dave, they're already full. They're building a whole new section. They're already full. You have 400 apartments.
Hey.
They're building more.
Hey.
That's how many dumb sheep we have. You know, we have enough dumb sheep in this country to do it.
Yeah,
doing it.
It's obvious. Oh, yes.
Yep.
I say, yes. Keep you in one location, just take them all out at one time. Okay, we got a whole 400 right here. Done. Look. And keep on moving. But anyway, so thank you, Dan. Love you all.
All righty.
God bless you. Good night.
Thank you, dear. Good night. Okay. And it's that time for Mr. Jesse to wrap things up after I remind you.
I didn't realize it was 10 o'clock. Holy crap.
Yeah. Well, how time flies and you're having fun. Don't forget Terry's call. Terry's call on Thursday. If you're not on her email list for some strange reason, send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com. That's all one word, queensongbird@gmail.com. Just in the subject line, please put me on the list. That's all you got to say. And she'll send a reminder out.
That you're mentioning that, I'm going to point this out a week early. I'll send it out, the information, after the call this Thursday. But the Thursday of Thanksgiving, I will not be having a call because I'm going to be at my son's.
Yeah, she's going to be Thanksgiving. So,
yeah, I mean, everybody knows I don't like that holiday, but, you know, now we have a much larger family and I have other family obligations, so I will be doing Thanksgiving.
Okay, so it'll be this week, but then the week after, no Terry. So if you got questions, day after tomorrow is going to be the time. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait a couple weeks after that. So, Jesse, it's all urine, pee-pee.
Thank you, David. Well, he's feeling funny. Anyway, guys, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. Again, you know, our membership is super down. I mean, like, super, super down. Everybody thinks this economy has, you know, gotten better over the years. But unfortunately, when you look at the true inflation numbers, they're stealing your money, and you don't even know they're stealing your money. It's a joke. It's almost laughable.
Yep.
But
not,
I mean,
when you go to the gas station and the grocery store.
That's my point. You know, so, you know, when you go pay 30-40% more for gas, 30-40-50% more for groceries, if you can find what you want, of course, then you start to realize your money's being stolen that way through inflation. And unfortunately, we're going to hit deflation. And, you know, I've been reading some reports on foreclosures and what's coming down the pike with all the banks. And, you know, Zillow quit buying homes because they can't, the appreciation has stopped. They can't sell them. They can't turn them over. People are tired of looking. People are tired of fighting, getting outbid. You know, there's a lot of things that are happening that people don't realize. You know, interest rates down, home prices are up, and inflation is going through the roof. Well, that's a combination for absolute failure in an economy. You can't have it. Cost of goods are going through the roof. It's just ridiculous. So with all that being said, guys, you know, I never push anybody. We're fine. We all work hard to keep, you know, not as hard as we used to, obviously, because we don't have a membership. But, you know, when things get ugly and hit the fan, you know, we're here, and I'm still keeping up with all the foreclosure stuff. I have not flacked on that whatsoever. I keep up on CCP. And just out of a side note, guys, I find it hilarious that yesterday I'm flipping through TikTok because I'm always keeping up. I get more news on TikTok than I do on any other channel, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, it doesn't matter. And here it is, some guy saying, hey, are you getting these spam texts? Well, you can use the CCPA. I'd had to drink two beers and I'd already buzzed, and I'm a lightweight, guys. I'm a cheap dick. And I was rolling, and Dan says, what are you laughing at? I'm over at my son's house. I go, this clown talking about the CCPA. We've been doing that for 10 years. You know, and this is something new to these people. So, you know, it's out there. There's a lot of scams. There's a lot of people that don't know what you're talking about. You've got to be careful. You know, we've been at this, what, guys, 12 years now? I think this is our 12th or 13th year with What Lies in Your Debt.
Long
helping
time.
Helping people. Yeah, you know. And Terry's done some pretty amazing things with the CRAs and the FCRA and the FDCPA, and I've done a whole bunch with FDCPA and CCPA, and Dave's done a bunch with CCPA, and John's done a bunch with, I mean, we have cases. You can go look them up. You know, we're not clowns. We're not people on TikTok. We're actual real living human examples of success in court fighting the system with the system's own rules. So, again, you don't have to sign up now. You know, I don't care. It doesn't matter to us one way or another. But I do encourage you, if you're thinking that financial disasters in your family, and unfortunately I wish it on anybody, but that's life, are around the corner, or you know that something's coming down the pipe that you're not going to be happy with, we suggest you sign up, pay the $50. It's worth it. You got more information there than you can learn in a lifetime on how to protect your family and your assets, even your assets, your vehicles, your savings, checking account, businesses, et cetera. So we got you covered literally from, you know, your car all the way up to your house and everything in between. So it's worth the money, the little bit of investment, $750 per year. It's pretty easy. And, again, What Lies in Your Debt's been around a long time. I think we're probably the oldest website on the Internet with this information. I don't think there's anybody out there that's got us beat. I think we can lay claim to that fame, and we're probably the most successful group and family out there. So, you know, take a look at it, guys. And, again, God bless everybody. Thank you for joining us. Moderators, stay on board. I want to run something by you guys, if you don't mind, just 5 or 10 minutes, which it never is. But 5 or 10 minutes after you hang up, Dave, on Blog Talk, stay with me, if you would, and Terry and John. I want to run something by you. So, anyway,
yeah.
God bless everybody. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you next month. Appreciate you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, Jesse, if we keep this going, if I end the episode, it's going to cut everybody off.
Oh,
we
really?
Can,
yeah.
We can dial into mine, though. You can dial into mine. I can open that.
Yeah, either way, like I said, let's do it.
Okay.
We don't
whenever
have to be recording.
I don't have your number. It's only a few minutes. It's not a big deal. It might not be a few minutes if we get to talking, but let me know what your thoughts are.
Do you have the – I'll give you the number.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Hold on. Let me get it here. Not like I call myself, you know.
Yeah, I haven't called that number in a long time.
Yeah, at least a week, right?
At least. Maybe a little more.
I was looking for the button there that gives me where the number is. And my phone's so slow to load. Here we go.
Are you talking to your regular one, Terry?
My regular conference.
It's Thursday
line. Okay,
night.
It's 857.
Mm-hmm.
232.
Two what? 3 2?
232.
Yeah.
0155. And the pin is 230277. We don't even have to go and open the board. We can just
no,
talk
no.
on the
yeah.
line.
As a matter of fact, let me before I call in, you guys tell him, let me shoot a text to my buddy in California. See if he wants to jump in with us real quick. It's a guy who really needs to be on this call. All right.
All right. Works.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.